Another episode of the Dapped on Draft podcast. I am your host, Corey Kinnon, alongside Dalton Miller. We are going to wrap up our Senior Bowl coverage here. So day three of practice ended yesterday. Lots of guys already left and won't play in the game. I think I saw a tweet that somebody saw Mason Taylor at the airport on their way home from the Senior Bowl. So I would assume that means he's not playing either. But let's finish up our coverage here, man. Let's talk about day three of practice and then kind of overall some superlatives from the week, man. So let's start out with American side. So who from the American side stood out to you the most?
Yeah, and we might as well just go from the trenches and kind of work our way out, I think. It's the way that practice went. It's the way that I had my notes set up. So I have the offensive line just in general in 1v1s really dominated early on, which is crazy because you're talking about defenders like Princely Umemelin and Walter Nolan and guys like that who the offensive line was doing a really good job with. I also think all three of the LSU dudes, 72 specifically on the interior, looked really good during the 1v1 and the 2v2 portion of practice. And I'm not convinced that 50 is the best tackle.
You think Miles Frazier playing tackle?
Frazier looked pretty good playing tackle, I thought. Which is crazy considering he didn't play tackle for that football team, obviously. So yeah. I just think like guys playing out of position, which happens all of the time at the Senior Bowl, it's part of the process, is really impressive to me. The one thing that continuously showed up for me was I just wish there was more of a plan with number three, which is Princely Umemelin.
Yep.
There's the athleticism is there. The flexibility is there. The explosiveness is there. The bend is there. The hands are sometimes there, but there's just a lack of being able to connect moves together that you see from other guys in this class where I can't see him being a first-round guy. I just just personally, like, I like him. I love the athleticism. It's just not all there with him. Other than that, I thought that the 2v2s were really interesting, or the 3v2s. But I thought that the defense really had an advantage once they were able to play D-line games and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Umemelin and Landon Jackson, I think we've kind of talked about this entire process, is kind of like in the same tier of like fringe first round guys. And I think they both are probably going to come in quite a bit lower for me than that, than fringe first round guys, like very firmly day two guys. From Princely Umemelin and Landon Jackson. I think Umemelin's a much better athlete than Jackson is.
Yeah.
But I don't think either of them have it quite figured out yet. Speaking of defensive trenches, a new guy showed up on day three, and I thought he had a really good practice, and that was the Minnesota defensive lineman, Danny Strigo. He was a late add to the practice, and I thought he shined. Like, I thought he popped off the tape quite a bit, especially in 11-on-11s. He had a really nice bend. I think it was on Emery playing tackle. And so I thought he had a good day. He had a really strong, anchor on a double team as well in 11s. So he popped out for me quite a bit. And I think he was brought in because TJ Sanders opted out for that last day. So, offensively, I thought Emory Jones had a really good day playing guard. Any rep he was playing guard, I thought he had a really strong outing. Any rep he was playing tackle, he was getting,
I didn't mind him. I didn't mind him during individuals or 1v1s at tackle. Team is where I thought he really struggled to tackle.
And it's the kind of the same, like you have to be able to understand how to marry your set with quarterback drop. And it's just not something that he's figured out in 3 years starting at right tackle. So I'm very firmly on the train that Emory Jones is a guard. Cut down that set depth it's kind of the same thing with Jonas Vaitonen, right? Which I've kind of fought it for a while, but I might be ready to give in there too. For me with American though, like the defensive backs stood out to me this practice, like hardcore defensive backs dominated, in my opinion.
I think 27, we're going to talk superlatives, and he might not come down as the best player, but I don't think there was a better defensive back this
week. Is that Mac McWilliams?
I don't think it was a better defensive back. I mean, everything he's doing, like, so what I really like to see from guys is confidence in their ability to carry. And you see it with a guy like Maxwell Harrison, the confidence to kind of, it looks like they're stalking guys. It never looks like they're moving at 100%. And it's because they're not. And for 27, Mac McWilliams, I really thought, first of all, hilarious generated.
I love it. Yeah. It's like an NCAA 25.
Yes. But his ability to never, ever panic, even when the ball's in the air, even when he doesn't actually locate it, the ability to play through guys' hands at the catch point and the absolute confidence that he had in his game, I thought was outstanding.
Yes.
And then on top of that, the fluidity and the explosiveness to move with guys downfield and to mirror and match guys. I thought that his eyes were really, really good as well. He's a guy, I haven't watched a single second of his tape yet, but he is the first guy I'm going to watch tomorrow morning when I turn on tape.
First guy I'm going to watch, we're going to talk about National, because he was phenomenal to me this week and might get my vote for the best player there this week. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I wrote down five defensive backs from day three American practice. Upton Stout, I mentioned him every freaking day of the week. He's just so technically relaxed. I mean, he's punching really, really well with that first step off the line of scrimmage. He's mirroring well. And he's playing really big for being 5'8". Like, he's playing...
He's playing tough.
He's playing real tough. Like, this guy, again, I want to go back and watch his tape and see how he tackles. But, like, if you can tackle, this guy's going to play in the nickel for 7 years. Like, 7-plus years at the NFL level. The other UCF corner, BJ Adams, had a couple of really awesome reps, too, in one-on-one.
Dude, he absolutely bullied, Jalen Royals.
Yes.
On that deep dig in the end zone. And he didn't get the pick because he ended up falling out of bounds. But that was an outrageous play. That was definitely outstanding.
Yeah. The Kansas State kid, Jacob Parrish, unbelievable trigger today. Or yesterday, I guess it was yesterday's practice. Or 2 days ago.
Just period.
Awesome trigger, awesome feet. Yeah. And then, again, the Wisconsin safety, Hunter Wohler. I mentioned him yesterday, where, like, every one-on-one, he had tight coverage, and they found it. And it happened again today. But, like, I think he's doing what he needs to do. He's doing everything well. The tight ends are just finding ways to catch these footballs with him draped all over them. So I think Hunter Wohler has stood out to me as well as a pretty instinctive guy. And he's, again, at Wisconsin, plays a lot more box slot. But he's a good tackler. So I thought he stood out to me as well.
Yeah, do we want to touch on the tight ends at all? Because for me, Jackson Hall's number 87, not a fantastic athlete, but a really big body. He made a really nice play in the end zone.
I saw that one.
Kind of twisting and finishing high. And then I thought that he looked really, really good in pass pro reps when it was them versus the linebackers in drills. I thought that he looked really good. CJ Dupree. Thought that he did a really good job of shooting. It's one of those things where it happens kind of a lot in the Senior Bowl where guys are really able to shield guys and finish, and I felt like that's what he was doing. And I thought that Mason Taylor had a much better day on day.
Playing through contact, yeah. I mentioned it yesterday's episode that, like, I felt like every rep through contact he dropped the football, and he had a couple tight window grabs in the, like, at the pylon, too.
Yeah.
So, like, right at the pylon. And I think Jake Brenningstuhl is a pretty decent athlete for his size and a pretty smooth route runner.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to bring a whole lot of physicality or anything to, like, in terms of blocking, but I do kind of what he brings is kind of a flex light kind of guy.
One guy who I haven't gotten to his tape yet. But in that same vein of tight ends and, you know, linebackers is Shamar James, linebacker from Florida. I felt like he looked really good in everything. The first thing that really stood out to me was going up against the backs as a pass rusher. I was like, oh, it like might be a little edge versatility with this guy. And then I also thought that he looked really good with his trigger and team. And I also thought that he looked more confident than all the other guys did in the 1v1 coverage drills, which you're just, as a linebacker, you're going to get toasted against the running backs. But I felt like he looked the most confident out of that entire group. That entire group that includes some really good athletes like Shmail Mondon and Demetrius Knight.
I was going to bring up Shmail Mondon because I saw him trigger pretty decisively in 11s. He made a couple of really nice trigger read reacts in 11s. And even one, the blocker was able to climb and he did his best Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah impersonation and like dipped under the blocker to fill his gap, which I thought was really awesome. So I thought he had overall a good week. Like, I still have my concerns with any linebacker in this class. Like, I don't think there's – it's hard to find a really smart and instinctive linebacker. That's too harsh. I don't want to use the word smart. It's hard to find a linebacker who's really sure of what he's seeing in this class in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I still feel that way coming out of the Senior Bowl. Like, even Jihad Campbell. Like, we love Jihad Campbell, but I still feel like his eyes are a little raw. But I did like what I saw a little bit from Mondon.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a situation where there's not a ton of scheme versatility in these because, I mean, just first of all, you can't install that much three practices, and they keep it a lot more basic. So I think it makes it a little bit easier on the linebackers. Nothing to report from running backs whatsoever, just because that's not the point of these All-Star games.
Yeah.
You want to move on to American quick?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, I gotta pull up my American tweet or the national team. So my national team is pretty short because they had just did like a pretty pseudo walkthrough with a few competitions. Like the national practice film was pretty short for day three. Mm-hmm. I have a running back for this one. So Damian Martinez, Miami running back Damian Martinez, I have written down, has had like some really smooth eyes. He found two cutbacks in 11-on-11 drills. And was able to hit those cutbacks pretty quick and get up. But most importantly, they did pass pro drills, linebacker, running back, pass pro drills. And I thought he was the firmest pass protector in those drills from the national side. He has some limited juice. Like it just is what it is. But like he's got some great eyes, man. And I think that plays. I think that plays in a committee. So Damian Martinez is a running back winner that I have from this group.
Yeah. And that does not happen all that often. I feel like after I did my scouting report on him, I should bring up that Jaden Higgins did exactly what I thought he would in this Senior Bowl. I think that he, from 0 to 90 degrees and in short areas where he is not all the way geared up, he is very fluid. He is very snappy. Anything working back to the ball, anything that is more complex in that regard, the breaks are not very good. His ability to come back to the ball is not amazing. Mm-hmm. One more thing I wanted to bring up from the American squad. Arian Smith learned how to catch the football.
Yeah. Apparently. I mean, it's all on his chest, but maybe we need to have a conversation about body catching isn't that bad.
It's not. No, it's not. Dude, he made a couple of catches along the sideline, like in the end zone, with guys in his face where it's like, this dude dropped like 14 passes this year.
A lot. Yeah. An unbelievable amount of passes.
And he's got the juice, but like...
He might be the fastest. I've heard he might be the fastest player to run the 40 at the combine.
Yeah, but he looked like a completely different player out there. Anyways, back to the national roster. Jonah Monheim.
I got him down too, dude.
That dude just pulls his ass off. It's so much fun to watch him because he's smaller. And unlike like 55, the North Carolina cat on the American roster, he's really small. But he also like plays really small.
Yeah.
Monheim is a dog. Monheim is trying to beat your ass. And it is a lot of fun to watch guys who are a little bit smaller whoop ass like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is like he's a guy that I need to go back and watch tape because like I didn't think he had any core strength like at all.
And again, that's what really stood out.
He's giving up nothing. He's giving up inches before he's dropping his hips and sinking his hips and anchoring in one-on-ones and in teams. So obviously we already know he's really athletic. So that was my concern, is like, where's the anchor at? But it could just be a thing where this was his first year playing center and maybe it took him a little while to figure out. Like, that could be the case here. So Monheim was a huge, huge surprise for me this week. The last one, because I think I've talked about enough about Azaria Thomas this week, because I thought his one-on-one reps were really dominant yesterday. And I know you think differently about maybe some of the team stuff from Thomas, but Toledo defensive tackle Darius Alexander, dude. Like, he might be the best player on the national team, dude.
He might be the best player.
He might be the best player on the national team. Like, his not only his one-on-one reps, but like
all of it.
And he smoked Monheim because he knows how to win. Like, he knows, like, oh, I've got a long arm, I'm going to take it, but then I'm going to reduce my surface area so you can't come back inside. Like, he's doing things that are like extremely seasoned, and like, he's got good hips. They bumped him out to 5-tech and even 7-tech, and he's winning on the edge. Like, he was unblockable day three, just straight up unblockable. Nobody could block Darius Alexander.
And day two. I don't think that I saw. All right, so Shamar Stewart is just
obviously
freak of nature. But I think consistently, I think Alexander was more dominant this week. Stewart was awesome, and Stewart is just a freak, and he deserves
to dominate an event like that, right?
Top 15, yes. But Alexander, I mean, just winning so consistently this week.
In like nuanced ways. Like, he's not just going through the chest, or he's not just bending. He's using his hands. He's reducing surface area. He's playing with power. He's playing with finesse. Like, he's won in just about every conceivable way you could think that a defensive lineman would be able to win.
Mm-hmm. It's been really impressive. Anything else you want to talk about from National before we get into some superlatives?
That's all I got from National. Again, they had a really short practice, really short practice. So,
let's get into it. You kind of already did your first and second teams. I haven't. So as we go through this, I'm going to let you go first, and then I'm going to work off of you. I don't even want to talk about the quarterbacks.
I'm just going to throw out Tyler Shuck was the best by a pretty wide margin, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure. I'm cool with that. That's easy enough. This isn't an event for running backs, so I just don't care about him.
I have LeQuint down for the running back.
Yeah.
Because of what he was able to do in all the drills, like running and catching the football. But yeah,
same thing. Yep. And it's funny. I thought that LeQuint looked like the more natural receiver
than Breshard Smith.
Breshard Smith. Yeah. And everybody was like raving about Breshard Smith this week. And listen, we all have different eyes. And there's a guy on the national team or the American team who I thought had a horrific week that everybody else is saying had a very good week. And I'm not going to bring up his name. But it just shows that we all see things very good.
I think I know you're talking about. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
yeah, but when we talk about like the running backs, I really thought that LeQuint looked like a wide receiver playing the running back position, which is exactly what you want to see in a situation like this. Wide receiver.
Yeah. So for wide receiver, I have two. I have Maryland's Ty Felton and Iowa State's Jalen Noel. As my first team Senior Bowl receivers.
Okay, and if you had to pick one of them?
Probably Noel, dude. Noel put on a freaking show this week. And it's not like the typical, he's a small, shifty receiver, he's going to win. Like, he's doing it in 7-on-7, he's doing it in 11s. Like, he's cutting dudes up.
Yeah. He's the dude. And listen, it very much follows the tape, because the tape was very much, this is a very explosive explosive athlete, and he is a little bit on the smaller side, but he doesn't play super small either. It's not Tez. He's not Tez small. You know what I mean? And so I think he has been my favorite. I also just want to bring up Arian Smith because I really did feel like Arian Smith had a really good week, and finishing through contact and just finishing it all was surprising. But for me, that was the guy at wide receiver outside of, and Jaden Higgins was pretty far up there too, but those are kind of the four. Jack Beck got a lot of love this week. I think Jack Beck is a really good football player. I wonder if he is athletic enough to win consistently at the NFL level.
I have questions about that as well, because the ways that I saw him win were the little subtle nudges at the top of routes and were late hands in the back of the end zone. Some like really savvy, refined stuff that like Jack Beck is going to need to win. But like, do I think he could, I don't want to, I hate typecasting slot receivers, right? Because like they're all white. I hate typecasting a slot, like a white slot receiver, but like how big is Jack Beck? What's his, what are his?
Oh, he's got to be 6'2", 200, right?
He is 6'2", 200. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think he could be a really big ass slot receiver.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how often we've seen that, but I think he could be a real big ass slot receiver.
I mean, that's what.
And just take shots over the middle. Yeah.
That's what Cooper Kupp is.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. That's
another fair. another white slot wide receiver.
That's fair. Yeah.
Let's go to tight end. I think that this one's pretty easy, but I'm going to let you go first and say it.
I have Miami's Elijah Arroyo.
Yeah, it's easy. He was easily the best. With the blocking didn't show up as much just because I don't think that the I didn't see the national team do as much like pass protect work. But as a receiver, man, that young man has some juice.
He's got
And he runs a little bit upright, and to be that fluid and explosive while having like popping pretty much straight up out of his stance and still being able to make guys miss is really impressive. So for me, it's him. Offensive line. Do we want to go through each position? Or
I have tackles, guards, and a center. So
okay. I think I'm going to do tackle and interior. I can do center too, I guess, because I know who it's going to be.
So tackle, I have two. Really, I thought all of the tackles were a little bit rough. I thought like there wasn't for me a dominant standout tackle, but I think the closest to that got there were NC State's Anthony Belton and Josh Connerly were the two that I thought got there closest. And I thought even Connerly had some like pretty rough around the edges reps, especially through the chest again and one-on-ones. But I think at the end of the day, he's still learning how to use his length. And I thought he was improving on the fly, I think is a good way to say it. But I think Anthony Belton was by far probably the best offensive tackle there, which just begs the question of like, why is your tape not this?
Yes.
Like, that's my biggest question about Anthony Belton.
I think I'm going to go with Miles Frazier. I think he's the guy that stood out to me the most to tackle. And I think Belton would be second. But I was really impressed because we just haven't seen Frazier play that position. And to step out there and play at the level that he did, I thought was really impressive.
Yeah. So I've got Frazier as one of my guards. Him and Gray Zabel as my two guards.
Fair.
I mean, yeah. Gray Zabel was the best offensive lineman this week. Like, was.
he might have been the best player there this week.
Might have.
Might have been the best player there this week. So he's, and I just want to bring up, because somebody brought it up on Twitter, Jonas Vaihinai did not look good at tackle.
No, his guard reps looked a lot better.
I thought that he looked fine at guard, and that's where I projected him anyways. So I'm comfortable, and I put him in a first-round mock draft today, like a kind of like a what I would do type deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm comfortable with that in the very back end of round one if you need a guard. But I gotta go back and watch more of
Zabel
because it's gonna be different because he's playing tackle there, but he was unbelievable this week, man.
Yeah.
He was so good. And center's
Mannheim.
Center's Mannheim.
Mannheim.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. The edge rushers are pretty copy out too, because it's Mike Green and Shamar Stewart. Like the two guys that are projected to go first round played like they are projected to go first round. Like, I don't know what else there is to say about that. Like, mm-hmm. Shamar Stewart played like a guy who should go top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. I agree. It's for me, it's Shamar Stewart. And on the interior, I want to talk about two guys because I do think we need to get Darius Alexander in there. And that's more of a three tech thing. So I think if we do a little bit of a three tech and then maybe a little bit more of a one tech.
Oh, interesting. You want to talk about Caldwell, don't you?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's really tough because I thought that Caldwell looked pretty good. I was disappointed with Yaya Black.
Yeah, he's first team off the bus kind of guy, but didn't play particularly well. 35-inch arms, dude.
Yeah. but for me, it's actually none of those guys for the interior. For like one tech, I was really impressed with Tim Smith this week.
Okay.
I was really impressed with Tim Smith this week as a run defender, like a do your job type of dude.
Yeah.
And I just want to give a quick shout out because Darius Alexander, I think, was the best interior defensive lineman and the versatility that he showed being able to go out to the outside. Jared Ivey, very much like that as well. Not as big, not as explosive, but a good player. I really thought that Ivey did a really good job against double teams, even though he plays a little bit high. His just natural anchoring ability, I thought, was pretty impressive. But another guy I wanted to just shout out was Joshua Farmer. A little bit of a weird build, but kind of explosive. And I'm interested to see if that type of like build and kind of funky athleticism kind of works to his advantage at the NFL level, or if it hurts him.
Yeah. Yeah. One other guy that I have down with Darius Alexander is Virginia Tech's Anais Peoples.
Yes.
So I thought he was very good in team drills. And he had his fair share of one-on-one wins as well. Honestly, him and Grable had some of the most fun battles this week. But in teams, dude, that guy was shooting every freaking gap he could find. Just an incredibly disruptive player during team drills this week. Linebacker, I said Jeffrey Bossa, Oregon's Jeffrey Bossa.
Yeah, for me, it was between Bossa and James. James really flashed me on day three, but I do feel like Bossa from day one to day three was the most consistent out of all of them. For me, it's James.
Just some 7-on-7 reps where he's peeling off and he's finding dudes and matching and carrying. Some really impressive stuff there. And again, like, there's no eye candy in practice, but again, he's triggering really, really well still and deep downhill and filling.
And good week from Kaiser too. Wanted to bring that up.
Yeah,
good week
for Jack Kaiser for sure. He's on my second team. Corners, I went with three corners, dude, because I just like they all three deserved it. I thought
you played you play three of them anyways.
Yeah, I went with Upton Stout, Western Kentucky, Mac Williams from UCF, and then Quincy Riley from Louisville. And I thought Quincy Riley might have been better than both of them.
Oh, see, I disagree with that. I don't think that he was. I don't think he was bad. I think that he was the best corner on the national team. Mm-hmm. I thought that Darian Porter had a pretty good week as well. But I do think Riley was the best on the national team. But I think I might pick all three guys from the American team, which are Jacob Parrish, Mac McWilliams, and then Upton Stout. Maxwell Hairston, I just want to bring up. He might have been the stickiest dude there until there was a bit of physicality at the top of the route. Then it was over for him. He just wasn't tough enough.
He's a little situation. Dude. He's a slendered man.
Yeah, yeah.
And then safety, I went with Hunter Wohler. Again, safety is hard to evaluate in an all-star setting. So, like, for me, in my money, instinctive in teams and sticky in one-on-ones, like, I went with Hunter Wohler.
I'm going to bring up Dan Jackson as well, which reminds me so much of the Key and Peele skit of Dan Smith from BYU. The white safety from Georgia, who never really flashed to me on tape playing at Georgia, which can be tough when you're playing with a bunch of first and second round and third round guys around you, plus Malachi Starks, who is potentially a top 10 pick. But I felt like he had a really good week in 1v1s, particularly in man coverage. And then I also wanted to bring up number 13, who is from Tulane, Caleb Bransaw. Played a little bit of corner on the outside as well. And I thought that he had really good range playing center field. I felt like his eyes could have been, he could have been a little bit more decisive sometimes, mm-hmm. but he had some pretty good just natural range. Who was your biggest surprise this week in a positive way?
I would Darius Alexander feels like a cop out, so I won't say Darius. I'm going to say Jonah Monheim because, again, I did not like Jonah Monheim. Like, I don't know what to do with guys who don't have core strength on tape, but like, then he goes out and he's stonewalling everybody. Like, so I think Jonah Monheim is my biggest surprise, where I'm going to have to go back and be like, well, is it really still on the tape? But again, what's hard is, like, again, it's his first year playing center. Like, if he had a second year of center tape, would it look like this? Like, if he came, but he's just, you know, he's a senior. So, like, what Monheim is the NFL getting? So, but he's going to make me go back and rethink some things for sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a bunch of guys who I'm going to have to go back and rewatch the tape. It would be a cop out to say any of the names that we've talked about quite a bunch this week. And so for me, I'm going to go a little bit off of the beaten path here, and I'm going to go with I'm just going to call him Olu.
The UCLA kid.
Yes, the UCLA cat, just because he intrigues me so much, the athleticism and the fluidity that he has. So he's
absolute hammers for hands he's got, too.
I'm excited to watch him. So those are the two guys that were the most surprising in a good way. I don't think we really need to talk negative. I don't think it really does.
If we haven't mentioned a player in the hour and or the 90 minutes that we've talked about the Senior Bowl in 3 days, then put two together there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think David Walker deserves a shout out. Small school. Yeah. Like, we didn't talk about David Walker this all. He's on my second team. And I just, you know, when you have Mike Green and Shamar Stewart, you can't put another edge on the first team. But I put Jared Ivey and him on the second team for edge rushers. And again, David Walker, dude, he's explosive. He's converting speed to power. And again, he's only 6 foot, so he's got a ton of leverage to get into some dudes. So, and not only that, but like, you don't see stout dudes like that who have flexible hips, but he's got really flexible hips for as stout as he is. So I think David Walker should go day two. Like, I think he should probably go day two.
I wonder what 6 foot, but just because we've seen it with some really good players in the past. Puna Ford is another guy who, like, he was a very obviously good, and it always bugs me, like, when a guy is kind of sawed off, but then, like, have 34 inch arms. It's like, that's the perfect natural leverage. Why don't we like that guy just because he's 6 foot instead of 6'4"? It doesn't make sense to me. And so for me, yeah, that's a really good shout out to throw David, because we did talk a little bit about David Walker after, I think, day two. But we didn't, you're right. I don't think that we got the chance to talk about him enough this week. That's about all I got.
That's all I got too, dude. Good week.
Yeah.
Good week. All right. So next week we'll be back. Again, you're getting a Saturday episode here, so enjoy that. Next week we'll be back. We decided we're doing running backs first, so we'll get into some of that at some point. We'll do probably a mailbag next week. Another Dafter draft at some extent. And we'll have some fresh Dafter draft content after the Shrine Bowl and Senior Bowl. So, stay tuned, man. We got things cooking. See ya.